Mensch.
Hello and welcome to Czech Books. In less than 3 weeks' time, the results of the biggest literature prize in the Czech Republic, the Magnesia Litera, will be announced, and excitement's been rising since the announcement of the nominated books last month. The prize is unusual in that it has 9 different categories, including, apart from fiction and poetry, books for young readers, non-fiction, and best translation. As well as winners in each category, an overall best book is also chosen. Given the vast number of books under consideration, judging the competition is a mammoth task. I visited Viktor Janisch, an editor and a translator of such writers as Ian Banks, Margaret Atwood and Louis de Bernier, to talk about his involvement in finding the best work of translation and being one of the 35 judges who get to choose the overall winner. My first question was to ask him how much reading was demanded of a Magnesia judge.
It's quite a lot of books. 62 to be precise. For each book, I can imagine the translator who is eagerly awaiting the result. And obviously, 59 of them are going to be disappointed because we didn't pick their book. We have 5 on the jury. That means that theoretically, we could read something like 10 to 15 books in 3 weeks. But in order to be fair, we had to read something like 30 of them. That's impossible to do, so we ended up reading quite a lot of introductory chapters. Obviously, we read the things that made our internal shortlist in more detail. But finally, we met and discussed, and 3 books were chosen.
And this is the procedure for all of the different categories, because this Magnesia Prize is very unusual in the range of categories. They include children's books, non-fiction, your speciality translation. Is the volume the same in all of the categories?
No, it isn't. There is only one jury which had even more arduous task than we had, and this is the jury for the Czech fiction, which had 68 nominees. But usually the number is something like 20 or 30.
And once the juries of 5 experts have chosen the 3 best books in their opinion for their categories, what's the next stage? Because this competition really does have a sort of winner-takes-it-all approach in terms of the final prize that's awarded, because the winner of the best book of all wins 200,000 crowns, which is $10,000. And the others, what do they get?
They get a statuette. It's a lovely statuette down. Yes, when we have finished our first task, that is selecting the shortlist, we get to vote on the shortlists of all other categories, and our own, of course. So we get to pick the winners of each category and then the overall winner. In this way, it's more democratic because even biologists vote on poetry. So the element of the common reader is inserted somehow into the competition.
So, in theory, is it possible for the Book of the Year not to have been voted the best book in its own particular category?
It has already happened. It happened some 3 years ago when Jan Novák with his book Zatím dobrý didn't win his particular category but was voted the overall winner.
In terms of your choice of best book in translation, are you looking for the best quality of translation, or what exactly are you looking for?
It has to be stressed that this is no competition for the already established Jungmann Prize for the best translation of the year. Now, quality of translation must be a prerequisite for any book that has been submitted. And so we are looking for 2 things particularly. One, we are looking for books that are important in their own countries, but at the same time not known here that much. There has to be something of a discovery in the process. That's why some of the critics might complain that they don't even know our shortlist, but that's precisely the point. We want to discover good literature which otherwise might never get the same amount of exposure.
One of the 3 translations your juries judged to be outstanding is the translation of the diaries of Hungarian writer Sándor Márai by Esther Sládková and Anna Gálová. And here's an extract from his later years in America, mainly about his wife. Following the examination, the doctor sadly declares senility. That may well be, but equally there are periods during the day when her mind is lively, she recalls everything, can recite long poems, talk shrewdly and perceptively about people and events. She cannot see her food and is sometimes unable to distinguish the character of dishes. By day and in the evening, her ability to orient seems to fail. And she is just as beautiful at 87 as she was when young. Differently so, but still beautiful. I don't know how long my strength will hold out, but I'd like to be with her to the last moment, helping and nursing her. I'm not reading or writing, but I sometimes dream I'm writing something. In the dream, the lines move like a projected text. The lines make sense. What's more, the word choices are correct. The composition is vivid. None of this is being written by me. It's all happening inside me. The return journey from life to death is dark. I am stumbling along from nothingness into nothingness. And on the way, a word or concept sometimes shines like a glowworm in a dark forest. What would you say to critics who maybe think that in choosing a book in translation as the best book, that you're really making some criticism about the Czech literary scene, that there isn't a Czech author who's been good enough to write the best book of the year?
I have to emphasize, since we are a smallish country, translation plays enormous role in our life and literary life. And so it's perhaps a bit just that once in a blue moon or in a blue year, some translator gets the official recognition that what we do well.
One thing I've noticed is that this year, which is the eighth year of the competition, there seems to be a lot more glamour and razzmatazz. The venue is now grander, it's in the Estates Theatre, there's a famous actress involved, and it seems to be getting a lot of television coverage.
The theatre, the Stavovské Theatre, has been chosen because the competition has grown and there are so many people who wanted to attend the ceremony and couldn't fit in the municipal library that a different venue was chosen.
In terms of the impact of this prize, do you think it is really an effective way of increasing book sales at a very basic level and also of trying to introduce the Czech reading audience and wider public to literature that they might otherwise not have thought about?
Certainly. It depends on the book. There are some books like Chimpoeshu's translations, which won the overall prize 2 years ago, whose sales went rocket high in the terms of Romanian literature. Now, before Litera Magnesia, it sold just 96 copies, which is dire. After it, it sold 10 or 11 times more, which is pretty good. Now, the last year's winner went on to sell 6,000 copies, which is brilliant.
Last year's winner was Petr Nickel, and it was a book for children, and the Romanian author you've just mentioned, Chimpoeshu, it was obviously a book in translation. It seems that it's not so often that the prize is given for the sort of best Czech fiction of the year. Do people expect it to be more focused on this, as, for example, other literary prizes like the Booker Prize are?
Or the Polish prize, Nikkei. Well, yes, but that's the whole point of Litera Magnesia. It's not just about Czech fiction. If it were, then it would have to have a different name and different concept. Now, the nice thing about Litera Magnesia is that any of those 24 nominated can win. It can boost their sales, and it can be very serious literature about the Velvet Revolution. It can be fiction about the Machine Brothers, or it could be a lovely children's book like The Hardcape by Mr. Nickel.
The three fiction nominees are Martin Rishavy, who's also a prize-winning filmmaker, Mikhail Ivos, a very well-known and established author, and Tomáš Zmeškal for his very first novel. And this extract is from Martin Rishavy's Cesty na Sibirj, or Journeys to Siberia. In the morning, I signed up on the ground floor of Yakutsk University as an official participant of the folklore conference. The organizers were truly generous in their preparation of what was, by local standards, an exceptional international event. For the obligatory enrollment fee of $100, foreign guests were provided with accommodation in one of the finest Yakutsk hotels, including full board. So I took my backpack and left my Faroes for something better, a four-floor building near the Victory Square with a nice view of an Orthodox church. From the early morning, the corridors were full of ethnographers and people in regional dress. I passed groups of people discussing new books on shamanology in Italian, French or English, and from different places I could hear guttural singing or drums. I was both terrified and excited, since there was no doubt that over the course of the following days, my hotel would be full of ancient ghosts. You're still now spending a lot of your time considering all of the books and your final judgment. The $6 million question, or maybe the 200,000 crown question, is, do you have any insider views as to who you think will win this year's prize?
Now, this is interesting because all those judges don't meet. They don't communicate with each other. So even in the theater, when the prizes are to be announced, we don't still know. We might perhaps have a guess, but we still don't know who is going to win it because there are 35 people deciding. I think that Mr. Vrishabhi might be a pretty good contender for the whole prize.
You emphasize this very unusual structure in the judging and this very democratic approach. Do you think democracy is necessarily such a good thing when it comes to judging literary quality?
Well, it's certainly better than a dictatorship, isn't it?
Okay, point taken. But it is really quite unusual to have such a broad range of people involved in judging the best books. Does this ever lead to any fisticuffs, literary fisticuffs as opposed to actual, because people feel very strongly about judgments that have been made?
Well, there are certainly some repercussions afterwards, but those are only on the pages of literary magazines, and no one really reads them anyway, at least in the opinion of our Ministry of Culture, which doesn't want to subsidize them anymore. Been a naughty boy, haven't I?
You're referring to the impact of the very terrible budget cuts on the literary world here now. I'm sure there'll be a lively discussion about this very interesting, varied democratic prize, and I look forward very much to hearing who the winners are. Thank you very, very much for taking time from your, I hope, enjoyable as well as arduous task. And I'm sure you're looking forward to a time when you're not having to read quite so many books at once.
Thank you.